Welcome to the Optimist Method Podcast. We get into the details of our guests' money stories every week, highlighting their wins and missteps in their financial lives and careers. Our goal is to share tips that you can actually use to keep your money right without giving up your lifestyle. All opinions expressed by myself, Brian Greiser, Fran Walsh, and our guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Optimist. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for any investment, tax, or legal decisions. Clients of Optimist may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. Let's get into it. This week, we got two videos that we're going to be taking a look at. One diving into the G-Wagon deduction and another talking about just systematic savings from one of the world's best entrepreneurs and businessmen out there. So, Fran, how are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Yeah, so second episode of our reaction series. First one went really well. We got a lot of positive feedback. People like seeing these viral gurus talking about different stuff financially related, you know, but naturally everyone always has questions. Hey, is this legit? Is it fake? What can I trust? So we're going to continue with this series and keep diving into, what's real? What should you focus on? And, what's BS out there?
All right, so let's take a look at the first one, Fran. This is the one you came across from Mr. Wonderful. So let's dive into this.
You take 10% of your paycheck every 2 weeks, 10%. Whatever it is after tax, whatever you got, and take 10%. Force yourself to do that. That's after you've paid off the credit card debt, because that's the one you're guaranteed to make 21%, because you're paying off something that's charging you 21%. You want to do that. And this whole idea of this 10% is not into the savings account. Yes, you can have some cash around. You need to have some cash. Generally, 90 days worth of your living expenses is a nice little safety net in case of catastrophe. But you start investing. You get indexed into the market. That's what it's called. And you get a basket of stocks, and it works for you. Really, really important. These are not complicated things to do. It's the discipline of doing them that's so hard. Saving 10% every week, once you get in the groove and you start to watch how your money grows right on your phone, that's interesting.
All right, so three main things he highlighted there. Number one, pay off your high interest credit card debt first. Number two, have 90 days of cash. And then number three, invest 10% of your biweekly paycheck into some index fund. Now, if you're just getting started out in your personal finance journey, these three things are a fantastic starting point for you.
No doubt.
By paying off your high interest credit cards, you're essentially getting a guaranteed 20% ROI, which he alludes to that we'll dive into later. By having 3 months of expenses in your emergency fund, you're obviously setting yourself up to avoid any sort of disaster, and then we'll get into the actual numbers of this, but by investing just 10% every paycheck, it's very possible for you to become a millionaire over time if you start early enough. So let's just start first with the credit card aspect. So, why is it so important to pay off those high interest credit cards early? Obviously the same way we talk about your investments compounding in your favor, high interest credit cards will compound against you. So that same way, if you got 10 grand, right, invested, it can keep compounding for you over time. Credit cards do the same thing, but in the opposite. So that bank's charging you 20% each and every year that you don't pay that back. Obviously, that's something we want to get rid of. So what we should be doing first is prioritizing getting rid of that high interest credit card debt. The reason we should be prioritizing this over any sort of investing is there is no investment out there that we are aware of that is guaranteeing you 20%+ each and every year. Historically, the stock market has averaged somewhere between 9% and 10% on an ongoing basis. Yeah. Most analysts and what we tell people is to assume somewhere around 5 to 7. Real estate, similar numbers. Crypto markets, yes, you can get 20% very quickly, but as we have all seen in the past, you can also lose 50 to 60% very quickly.
There are a lot of crypto funds that are out there that were guaranteeing a 20% yield, and those blew up really quick and went to zero, not only on the interest, but on the complete balance as well.
So essentially, there are no guaranteed 20% market returns out there except paying off that debt as quickly as possible. Next thing I want to dive into that he touched on was the emergency fund. So the same way he's talking about having 90 days of cash on hand, outside of getting rid of that high interest credit card debt and then investing. You know, we always recommend having 3 months of expenses, just like Kevin is saying here, just in the event of emergency. The last thing that we ever want to do is go into, you know, credit card debt. God forbid we get in a car accident, have a medical emergency, or, you know, something major around the house breaks. These things, unfortunately, can and will happen throughout our lifetime, and therefore we need to be prepared for them. The only caveat I would say to the 90-day or 3-month emergency fund is if you're an individual who, you know, heavily relies on commission checks or is in a sales role where you don't have a very consistent income or salary, then in that case, it is, you know, generally recommended to maybe go above that 3-month threshold, yep, somewhere in the 4 to 6 months, just so you have some extra cushion there in the event things get a little slow. Lastly, let's just go through, you know, an average American, right? Kevin talks about, hey, anyone can start investing 10%. And, you know, to his credit, this is a very fair point. If we just look at the average American makes 50 grand, their paycheck every 2 weeks, $1,900 after taxes comes to be $1,550. Let's just say that person took that 10% every 2 weeks, you know, so $310 a month. They're just throwing it in the S&P 500 index fund at Vanguard, Schwab, Fidelity, whatever platform you choose, just assuming 7% rate of return. 5 years, you could have 22 grand saved. Within 10 years, 53 grand. 20 years, 150 grand. 30 years, 360 grand. And then in 40 years, you could have $770,000 saved just from your $155 every 2 weeks, assuming you never make any more money and increase those contributions. So it's really incredible. Now, what's obviously much more likely is if, hey, this is you, if you're the average American today, you're in your 20s, 30s, and you're at that starting point, you're probably going to make a lot more money over the course of your lifetime. And even if you just stuck with that 10% number and you just rose as your salary rose, obviously it can make a significant impact on your financial future, where just having that discipline, automation, and, you know, strategy of just doing the 10% can and probably will, if you start early enough, get you to be a self-made millionaire.
Yeah, and the biggest thing that he said and that you just touched on, Fran, that we see is if you are disciplined, not only on automating the investing process of it, but disciplined on making that money available through your expenses, that's where the real magic happens. And if you can just do those two things, it might not solve all your financial problems, and honestly probably won't, but it will get you on a great path and a trajectory that you will be really proud of, but it does not happen overnight. It takes weeks and months and years and honestly decades to really do the hard work of that. And then the power of compounding really starts to work for you by doing that. And I'm going to mess this up a little bit, but there was some sort of a stat that somebody broke down about Warren Buffett, how actually like 90% of his net worth has been accumulated really like in the last like couple of years, 5 years or so. I forget the exact details of it, but it comes to mind.
Yeah, I think it was like 90% of his net worth was accumulated past age 80.
Yeah, which is just him just having the assets and then accumulation now, and it just gets ridiculous. Like, you need to do the hard work and the heavy lifting early on in your money building and investing journey, and then by time you get decades down the road, it is doing all of the work for you, or at least the majority of the work.
Yep, and you actually had a great tweet about this the other week, or it might have been like this week, something along the lines of, hey, the financial decisions you made 10 years ago are either benefiting you today or hurting you today.
No doubt.
There's no middle ground. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. By starting investing today, you're going to be, even if we just look at these numbers, you invest $155 every 2 weeks. In 10 years, you could either have 50 grand or you could probably keep putting it off, do the same things you're doing, and then you want to start saving in 10 years. Hey, at that point, you could have had 50 grand and an extra 10 years for that money to be compounding.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, overall, start early, start often, stay disciplined, and just automate, and you're going to be in great shape. But if you're someone who is starting their personal finance journey, those three simple tips can do wonders for you early on. Get rid of your high interest credit card debt. Just get that 3 months of essential expenses in your emergency fund, and then just start saving 10% every 2 weeks.
Love it. Love it. So in honor of tax season, just wrapping up, I'm going to be playing a clip here regarding the G-Wagon or the Land Rover deduction, also known as the Section 179 tax write-off in the IRS code. So let's get into this one.
Why do all rich people drive Range Rovers? Well, are you rich and going to buy it? No. Then why are you asking, bro? I'm just kidding. You see, under Section 179, you can write off any car that weighs over 6,000 pounds and is used for business more than 50% of the time. So the Range Rover weighs over 6,000 pounds and the rich buy it through their businesses so that they can write it off as an expense and pay less taxes? Yeah, and you don't just have to buy a Range Rover. Here's a list of some more cars that qualify for this deduction. Whoa, who do you even learn all this from? I just follow Milan.
Now, listen, everything that this guy said in this video is accurate, to my knowledge, as of today, the IRS code, and this is not tax advice. But this is why I do not use this G-Wagon Land Rover Section 179 deduction. To his point, you need to use this vehicle more than 50% of the time. And generally speaking, driving from your home to the office does not qualify as business use for your routine transportation. So for me, living a mile and a half down the road from our office, I can't use those miles. And also, friend, as you know, most of our clients come to our office to see us, or we're meeting with them via Zoom. So I'm not traveling to use my car for business purposes. So that's one thing right off the bat. I can't even really qualify or justify using it. And the other piece of this is too, is yeah, you get a tax deduction for the cost of the car over 5 years or depreciation all up front for a tax write-off of that, but you still have to pay for the car. Right, so even if you have a $100,000 car and you can write off 30% of it, you're still paying for a $70,000 car. You know what a much better arbitrage for me is? My paid off 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Yep. Right, so no expense, fully paid off. Now I get to take home, in theory, that extra money out of the business instead of putting it towards a car. So those are the two reasons why I do not use this deduction. It's because I don't use it for more than 50% of the time to go drive around to see our clients or travel. And honestly, I just don't want to pay for a $100,000, $70,000, or $50,000 car for that matter. Like the economics just do not work out in my favor for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, literally the first thing I thought of as you were talking through that was like my own situation. I was like, oh, I want a truck when I just recently, you know, got a car back in 2022. What did I get? I got the Ford Maverick. It was 26 grand. It's a tiny little truck, which is all I need. Like, we work in finance. I'm not a construction worker. But, like, yeah, in theory, if I wanted a big truck, it would have cost me $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. And then you think, you could put it through, you know, it's a business expense, right? You get that 30% discount on 75 grand. You know, it's still a $55,000 truck compared to a $26,000 truck. You're still paying an extra 30 grand. That's not even including the interest rates, the gas mileage, all the stuff that goes into it. So don't just buy something that you're going to spend way more money on just because you're like, oh, well, I get to write off a little bit of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you save 30%, but you're still you still got to spend the money.
Yeah.
Right. So now listen, if you need a car and you can justify for business use it more than 50% of the time, and it does qualify 100%, take advantage of this. But just because you can get the deduction doesn't mean you should spend a lot of money to go get it. But for businesses, and really the Section 179 deduction, you know, as far as I'm aware, is really not designed for two financial advisors to buy a Range Rover and a G-Wagon and go drive around to see their clients. And like that's not really the essential reason this was created. It was really created for, like, you know, my buddy who owns a landscape company.
Yeah.
He's got to buy a lot of equipment to operate his business. Dump trucks, machinery, all that stuff. So this was really created for really a guy like him to go out and say, yeah, I can go buy a truck to operate my business, get a really nice deduction on it up front to free up some cash flow to help him operate the business because he is rolling through machinery and equipment and vehicles on a regular basis to make sure that they can have the best equipment to put the best product out there for it. That's really why it was created in the first place. But there's other great uses for it too, you know, like this. But I guarantee you the IRS, when they created Section 179, I was like, you know what would be great? If some lawyers and advisors and real estate agents could drive around Range Rovers and G-Wags, like, that's not it. You can justify it based on the rules, but it's painted around the lines a little bit on this and a little bit sensationalized in this video.
Yeah, and it's certainly like a blessing and a curse in a way, right? Like you were talking about, you know, construction guys, landscaping, like for them, they need this in order to, you know, to help their business operate. It makes them more profitable. Like it's great. But, you know, if like you're talking lawyers, finance guys, all of a sudden, like that's a, it's kind of a curse in disguise where all of a sudden, hey, you're spending an extra $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on a car you don't really need just to get advantage of this. It's like people can fall into that trap quickly. You know, and we try to talk about, you know, living frugally. Obviously, drive a car you want. So if that's the car you want anyway, go ahead. But don't just justify spending an extra 20, 30, 40 grand on a car just because you, you know, you think then all of a sudden you get this code 179 deduction.
Yeah. And I was an idiot at one point in my 20s and was doing good at work and bought a Mercedes. Right. I love that car, though. Yeah. It was a terrible purchase. But at E350 Sport, I loved it. But man, anytime I went to go get that thing, like an oil changed, it was like $600 because they had only a certified Mercedes, whatever could do it to keep my certified pre-owned warranty on it. And then one time I went to go get it serviced again, like, oh, we need to service the transmission a little bit for you. I'm like, cool, no problem. I'm not going to do it this time. But how much is it? Like, I'll be like $1,500 to service the transmission. I'm like, you're not putting a new one in. Like, you're just going to make sure everything's good and service and replace some parts. I'm like, yeah, like $1,500. Like, I listed that thing the next week. I am sick of this maintenance cost and everything else. So if you are a business owner and you can qualify for this, don't spend the money just because you can. And especially on these higher end luxury vehicles, they do just cost so much more money. And is there a better use and a better purpose for these funds to help grow and scale your business compared to just driving around in a G-Wagon and Range Rover? If you want it and you love it and you got the money, go for it. Take full advantage of the IRS code. Play to your benefit with the rules. But don't go out and just buy something simply because you're entitled to doing it.
Couldn't agree more.
Cool. So that wraps things up here for this week. If you do see a video or you do see a clip that's interesting to you, and if you want to know if it's dialed in accurate or how we're actually using it in our own personal financial lives, feel free, send it over. We'd love to share our insights and opinions with you.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you in the next one.
All right.